My wife had always hated stuffed animals, but recently, she bought a giant teddy bear and started cuddling it to sleep every night. As for me, I was left to the side, completely ignored. I couldn't take it anymore. So, during our daughter's first birthday banquet, I asked for a divorce. The entire room went silent in shock. Veronica splashed a glass of wine in my face and shouted, "You're jealous of a teddy bear? Are you out of your mind?" I calmly wiped my face and said coldly, "Didn't you say you wanted to spend the rest of your life with that teddy bear? I'm just making it easy for you." "Miguel," she seethed, "our daughter just turned one, and you're divorcing me over this? What kind of heartless bastard are you?" Veronica's eyes turned red with fury, her body trembling. "Sign the papers," I said, throwing the divorce agreement on the table. "See you at the Civil Affairs Bureau at 9 tomorrow morning." I didn't bother explaining, and just turned and walked away. The guests were stunned again, exchanging confused glances. We were the couple everyone admired, the so-called perfect match. No one understood how things could fall apart so suddenly. There was a flash of panic in Veronica's eyes. Her parents frowned, their expressions darkening. They clearly hadn't expected me to be this decisive. Her assistant, Daryl, grabbed my arm and pleaded, "Come on, all girls like stuffed animals. Are you really making a scene over this? Apologize to Ms. Veronica. Have you forgotten how she nearly died giving birth to your child? She refused anesthesia and passed out from the pain, just to deliver your daughter. She sleeps in a separate room and takes care of the baby herself, so she doesn't disturb your rest. Can't you see how much she's sacrificing for you?" More guests chimed in, rebuking me. "He's right. You two had a good thing going. So many people envy you for marrying such a good woman. If there's a problem, talk it through. What kind of man uses divorce as a threat? You can't just take it out on your wife." Veronica took a deep breath and steadied herself. Then she rushed over and hugged me tightly. "Honey," she said softly, "we've been through 12 years together, from strangers to soulmates. You've always been gentle and patient. You never lost your temper. Is it something at work? Are you trying to protect me by pushing me away? Tell me. Whatever it is, we'll get through it together." Hearing her speak up for me so earnestly, the guests began to side with her. They looked at me with increasing disappointment. "Miguel," her father finally spoke up, "I may be retired and out of the business world, but I still carry some weight. We're all family. If something's wrong, you should say it. Don't bottle it up." Even Veronica's parents chose to believe in me. After all, I was the son-in-law they had handpicked, but I didn't care about any of them. Without a glance around, I shoved Veronica off me. My voice was cold. "It's simple. I don't love you anymore." A dead silence ensued. "What?" Veronica froze. Tears began to well up at the corners of her eyes. "I said, I don't love you anymore," I repeated. "Did you hear me clearly this time?" I stepped past her, ready to leave. "Stop right there." Daryl grabbed me by the collar and yelled, "Enough with this nonsense. Even as her assistant, I can't stand watching this anymore. Have you forgotten how hard you chased after her for 3 whole years? And it took another 6 just to finally walk down the aisle with her. Have you forgotten what you said at your wedding? To hold her hand and grow old together. To never leave her. And your kid is already 1 year old. Do you want him to grow up in a broken home?" Watching him defend her so passionately, I smirked and said with a mocking tone, "Why are you so worked up? What? Don't tell me you have feelings for her. Anyone with a conscience would be disgusted by a thankless bastard like you." Daryl clapped back. His tone was growing even more arrogant. "You came from nothing, and yet Veronica didn't look down on you. She even arranged a job for you in her family's company. If it weren't for the Campbell family, would you be living the good life you have now? Would you even be sitting in the president's chair?" Smack. I slapped him across the face without hesitation. "You're just an assistant. Know your place and keep your mouth shut." Seeing him hurt, Veronica instantly panicked. "Miguel, are you insane? What gives you the right to hit Daryl?" She shoved me aside and hurried to help Daryl off the ground. Her eyes were full of concern. "He deserved it," I said flatly, clenching my fists, utterly unapologetic. The crowd instantly turned against me. They began to think my usual calm demeanor was all just an act. Deep down, I was nothing but a violent hypocrite. Daryl lowered his head and said quietly to Veronica, "I'm sorry, Veronica. This is all my fault. I shouldn't have spoken out of turn. I must have upset Mr. Miguel. Please don't blame him. He looked so guilty and remorseful." "It's not your fault," she replied gently. "I dragged you into this." Then she turned to me, her voice low and humble. "Honey, this is between us. Don't take it out on others. Today is our daughter's first birthday. Can't we just get through the day without drama? I'm begging you." Tears welled up in her eyes as she spoke. Her softness, my aggression, the contrast couldn't have been starker. Naturally, the guests sided with her. Her father, Franco, took a deep breath and tried to mediate once more. "Miguel, over the years, you've always been hardworking, devoted to the family, and respectful to your elders. There's no need for things to get this ugly. If you really feel wronged, bring out the evidence. I promise I'll stand up for you." He was giving me an out, but I didn't take it. I remained cold and firm. "This marriage is over. I'm divorcing her no matter what." At that instant, his expression changed, and a hint of gloom clouded his face. Veronica looked at me through tears. "Is there someone else?" she asked, voice quivering. "Think whatever you want," I said indifferently. "If that's what you believe, go ahead." "That's enough," Franco finally exploded. "Miguel, I'll give you 3 days to think this through. Either you go home and act like a husband and father, or we'll see you in court. And don't expect to leave with a dime. Don't forget, everything you have now came from me." The words were harsh and final. Everyone thought I'd finally give in, but instead, I turned and walked out without hesitation. Outside, my junior from university, Stella, was already waiting for me. "I've already sent someone to Europe," she said with a smile. "The answers you want won't take long now." "Thank you." I leaned wearily against the back seat, exhaustion soaking into my bones. "I'll be facing Veronica in court in 3 days, I added. "I'll need you to represent me." As I spoke, I pulled out my phone and opened a video clip. In the surveillance footage, Veronica's beloved teddy bear walked straight out of the side bedroom. Then, it began dancing in front of the living room camera. That footage alone was enough to upend everything. 3 days. That's all I needed. Originally, I planned to check into a hotel, but all my bank cards had been frozen. Only then did I remember, over the past year, control of our finances had slowly shifted back into the Campbell family's hands. Even the bank account was now registered under Veronica's name. I had thought I was living in a warm and happy family. In reality, I was completely alone. That night, I crashed at Stella's place. The next next morning, I returned to the company to collect my things. The moment I stepped into the lobby, I was bombarded by gossip and whispers from the employees. A live-in son-in-law asking for a divorce. Doesn't even know how lucky he is. He's dumber than a pig. So what if President Campbell likes cuddling a teddy bear to sleep? That's not weird. I do it too. He probably got bored of her after she gave birth and her figure changed a little. Wouldn't be surprised if he's keeping a harem of mistresses on the side. The way they looked at me was full of disgust, as though I were some vile criminal. I hadn't even opened my mouth to respond when a familiar voice rang out from behind. Enough. Who gave you permission to speak like that? Get back to work. It was Veronica. Only then did the employees reluctantly scatter. She walked up to me with a warm smile. Honey, she said, I bought you a new watch. Try it on. From her bag, she took out a pristine wristwatch. Gasps erupted around us. A Patek Philippe limited edition. Only 3 were ever made. Rumor is, they were all snatched up by mysterious collectors. President Campbell must have gone to great lengths to get her hands on this. She's so thoughtful. Everyone looked on with admiration and envy. But my response remained cold. I came to collect my family heirloom, I said, stepping back. You can save the watch, for your teddy bear. The words hit like ice water. Veronica froze, stunned. The crowd erupted again, only now with outrage. What an ungrateful bastard. He doesn't deserve anything good. I ignored every word and headed upstairs. When my parents passed, they left me with only one thing, a pendant they said would ward off evil. I'd worn it around my neck ever since. A while ago, Veronica had complained that her office felt eerie, that strange noises kept happening. So I'd taken off the pendant and hung it in her office. From that day on, everything went quiet. But now, she didn't deserve to keep it. As I entered her office, I saw Daryl playing with a little girl. President Miguel, he greeted with a grin. You're finally back. Nothing matters more than a happy family. Come, take a look at your daughter. She's adorable. How could you bear to walk away from her? He walked over with the child in his arms. Move, I said with a frown of pure disgust. She's your daughter, Daryl insisted, his voice rising. You won't even spare her a glance. Get out of my way. I shoved him aside impatiently and walked straight in to retrieve the pendant. I turned. Daryl and the girl had both fallen to the floor. At that exact moment, Veronica walked in with several senior executives and saw everything. She rushed to the child, checking her from head to toe. Only when she confirmed there were no injuries did she breathe a sigh of relief. What happened? She asked, eyes darting between me and Daryl. Daryl hung his head. I just wanted President Miguel to look at his daughter, but he refused. He pushed me. I wasn't steady on my feet, and I fell. What? Before I could react, Veronica slapped me hard across the face. You've become heartless, she screamed. That's your own daughter. She's barely a year old. What if she had been seriously hurt? My face remained indifferent. Say whatever you want. Even if she had died from the fall, it's not my problem. Her expression collapsed. Tears streamed down her face. Daryl pointed at me, shaking with rage. What the hell is wrong with you? Cursing your own daughter to die? You're beyond help. Enough, Veronica choked out, trembling with fury. I'm done. Get out. Get out of my life. I can raise our daughter on my own. She doesn't need a father like you. We'll settle this in court. Veronica's final words were practically screamed at the top of her lungs. I didn't respond. I simply turned and walked away. Not long after, news of my divorce with her exploded online. One expose after another flooded the internet. Some claimed I was keeping dozens of mistresses. Some said I was a regular at shady clubs. Others even alleged I had an illegitimate child. Photos were posted as so-called evidence. I was crucified on the internet, labeled a heartless scumbag who abandoned his wife and child. Still, I remained silent. No explanations. No statements. Until 3 days later, when I appeared in court. Because the trial was public, the gallery was packed, not just with friends and family, but with reporters as well. Miguel, Veronica said, fists clenched tightly, I'll give you one last chance. Admit your mistake, and let's move on with our lives. Daryl chimed in beside her. You don't have a leg to stand on. You'll lose everything in the divorce. What then? Who's going to want anything to do with you? Just give in, he sneered. Unless you want to end up sleeping on the street. Veronica's parents sat stiff-faced. Miguel, her father said sternly, think carefully about the consequences. If your whole argument for splitting assets is that Veronica sleeps with a teddy bear, you have no chance of winning. In the face of their criticism, I said nothing. I simply walked to my seat beside Stella. The entire Campbell family scoffed in unison. The hearing began. After reviewing Veronica's submitted evidence, the judge turned to me. Sleeping with a teddy bear doesn't constitute a fault in a marriage, he said. However, the plaintiff has submitted over 50 photos of you in intimate situations with other women. If you cannot provide new evidence, the court will rule you at fault based on the current facts. I stood up calmly. I have evidence. Now the real show was about to begin.